This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email me, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Now, I promised you something that I've been brewing on today. It's one of those things I've been brewing on. That's a great way. Chris, you're not a world-famous author, so you probably don't understand what that means. That means it's something I've been thinking about a lot. That's what it means. Anyway, I've been brewing on something. Thinking about solutions, because you and I can sit and have a beer and scream all night long about how bad the FBI sucks and how it's going to wreck the country. And but what do we do? What can we do about it? Well, one of the things that is striking is how arrogant these people are. The arrogance of the people within the walls of the FBI and how superior they truly believe they are to everyone else. This was former acting director McCabe.
John Durham has failed to come up with anything new. Most of the report, the parts that I've been able to read in the last few hours, are a regurgitation of findings that were made by the inspector general.
Yeah, I'm not even going to play it. Assistant director, anyway, not acting director, but that was McCabe. You haven't seen any apologies out of the FBI. No, nothing. They're totally convinced of their own superiority. So what should we do? Well, I'll tell you something. Let me read an email here. Jesse, In my job as an airline pilot, I come into contact with law enforcement. When they fly armed, we're notified of their presence. They're required to come to the cockpit, present their credentials, and introduce themselves to the captain. I've always had a high degree of respect for LEOs, and particularly the FBI. I knew a few who joined after the Marines, so on and so forth. After yesterday's Durham report, I am so angry that I want to start screaming traitor at them. I have to restrain myself or I'll get myself fired and thrown in the gulag. We need a church commission. P.S. My son was a liberal idiot when he went off to California for college. He's now a huge fan of yours and done a 180 on his politics. Best day of his life was when he said to me a year ago, Dad, you were right. You were right about all of it. Said he lives in Florida now. One, that's the coolest freaking thing ever. Congratulations, Dad. But two, the FBI. Maybe it's time for you and I to start participating in more active measures. Now, what does that mean? Maybe it's time to start shunning people we may know who work for the FBI. Maybe it's time all of us anti-communists decide that the Cheka is an illegitimate organization hostile to the security of the United States of America. And if you are willingly still working for them, maybe it's time for you to experience one of the things that has been a great changer of human behavior throughout history. What is that thing? Shame. Public shame. Did you know during World War I, there were all kinds of obviously horrific casualties like countries had never seen before. Countries like Britain and France and Germany. No one had ever experienced casualty numbers like that. And they were just throwing their young men into the meat grinder and they were going to die. And then of course you turn and you say, hey, we need more young men. We just killed the last batch. Send us some more. We're going to kill. That's kind of how the way these things go. And Britain wanted a more aggressive recruiting policy. You know what they did as part of their policy to get young men to join? Because eventually, look, young men are always down for an adventure and a little spice of danger. But eventually, you start getting word back from the front. Too many people coming home without legs, without faces, without arms. It seems like less of an adventure and more like something that really I don't feel like doing. So they decided the young men in their society needed a little extra motivation. You know that the British government, that they hired young ladies, young dimes, if they saw a young British man military-age British man in their village, in their town, they would walk up to him and publicly, loudly shame him for being a coward who refused to join the British Army. This was not a side thing. This was a focused effort by the British government, extremely successful at the time. Why? Well, public embarrassment, while I may lack the ability to feel it, it is a very real thing. And embarrassment and shame is a very real motivator for people. Maybe it's time for that blue jacket with the FBI letters written across the back. Maybe it's time for that to become a scarlet letter in American society. Maybe your cousin who works for the FBI, maybe he should stop bragging about it at parties, and maybe he should be embarrassed that he works for the FBI. And maybe all this stuff sounds harsh to you, and I'll be very frank with you, it sounds harsh to me. I've had the chance to speak to FBI whistleblowers, real patriots who have come forward, given up their careers, and what they told me is there's probably 10-15% of the FBI that thinks like you think and wants what you want. And he said virtually all those people are busy being run out of the FBI now. And you know what else he told me? He told me probably 80% of the FBI, they're not even really aware of what's going on and the political stuff. They don't really care and they're not really aware. Well, maybe it's your job. Maybe it's my job to make them aware. Maybe it's time to make employment at the FBI the ultimate mark of shame. Maybe that's the kind of thing you should, instead of pulling out your badge at the bar on Friday nights, maybe that's the kind of thing where you lie about what you do. FBI? What? No. You kidding me? No, I'm an accountant. FBI? Never heard of them. Oh, you mean the law enforcement guy? Those guys suck. Maybe it's time for a public shame campaign. Maybe you think that's too far. Allow me to play you a bit of the testimony from Mark Houck today. Mark Houck, the pro-lifer. Mark Houck, who, well, here he is.
20 years ago, I began pro-life work in the city of Philadelphia. I did peaceful protests and prayer vigils in front of many abortuary facilities in Philadelphia. They have always been peaceful.
Okay, that part's a little long. Let's get to this part. Maybe it's time to shame people who work for the organization that does things like this.
I want you to know that the Philadelphia PD and the DA in Philadelphia, as well as the Civil Affairs Department, did not intend to prosecute. They had no interest in that. 5 days later, this is 2022, I was served a target letter on the same street corner with my 12-year-old boy. A target letter that I was a target of a federal indictment. Fast forward to September 23rd. My attorneys reached out stating that we would peacefully present ourselves to the district. There would be no need to come out to his house and disrupt his family and cause any trauma to them. That he's a peaceful man, he will come in. In August of 2022, my attorney reached out to me and says, have you heard from the assistant U.S. attorney? I said, no. She won't return my phone calls, he says. I said, well, maybe we'll just let sleeping dogs lie. On September 23rd, my home was raided by 10 unmarked and marked units, state troopers, federal law enforcement personnel. I had 5 federal agents on my doorstep at 6:30 in the morning with long guns pointed at me and my 7 children. They banged on the door and they said, open up. They did not even declare who they were that day. They didn't even ask me, could you please open the door with the FBI? They just said, open up. I went to the door. I was up. I said, who is it? They said, it's the FBI. Open up. So I opened up the door peacefully. I said, please stay calm. I have 7 babies in here. They pointed M16 guns at me and my wife. My wife comes down and says, do you have a warrant for his arrest? They said, we're taking him with or without a warrant. My wife said, you can't do that. That's kidnapping. We proceeded to go into a 4.5-month trial that, as you know, and have said previously that we were acquitted of. But I was facing 11 years in prison, and I had every prospect in my heart that I would be in federal prison away from my 7 children.
Show up at his home. Point weapons at him and his wife. Keep in mind, this is done on purpose by the FBI. a man, a peaceful man, who offered to turn himself in. Instead, they showed up at his home like they're taking down some kind of crack den with weapons at the ready, spouting cocky words like, we don't even need a warrant. Now, let me ask you again. Do you think working at the FBI from this point forward should be something you brag about? Or do you think we should begin a social shame campaign where it's something you shut your mouth about if you're still working for such a despicable organization? I say it's time for a lot more shame. Oh, if you're not quite there yet, you probably will be when I play you this little doozy here in just a second. Before I get to the doozy, and then we'll get to some Trump DeSantis stuff and IRS stuff, let's get to you. You should know we believe what we say here on the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm actually putting in an order today for 3 Hero Arrows and a Hero Gun for various family members of me, Chris, and Michael. These things, they're non-lethal, yes. One of these guys, not gonna say who, his relative does not like guns. She will not carry a gun. He's getting her a Hero Arrow. A Hero Arrow will shoot pepper spray, a pepper gel, I should say, and it will stop a bad man in his tracks. It even has this loud siren on it. Hero Arrow shoots pepper balls, or a Hero Gun shoots pepper balls. Hero Arrow shoots the pepper gel. Either way, get something for your loved ones so they can protect themselves and carry it on you. Hero2020.com, code Jesse, gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse.
I've got an animal inside of me.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. I'm sorry. I'm so excited. Senator Cucumber, he interrogated somebody today in the Senate, and it's so good. I'll get to that in a second. One last thing on our social shame campaign for anyone who works at the FBI. I want you to listen to this. Dan Bishop, who's one of the real great congressmen out there, he was interviewing somebody, and then you'll hear during this, he tosses to a Democrat congresswoman. I want you to listen closely to what she has to say. And it's not just that she says it. She says it without hesitation. She says it as simply a matter of fact, as an obvious fact. And what she says is jaw-dropping. It's not just that this is how they think. It's that they don't think anything wrong is thinking like this.
Do you have any insight why they would prosecute Mr. Houck for a squabble with an activist outside and send the SWAT team and take him to a jury that acquits him if they haven't gotten the person who committed an arson attack on a clinic, on an abortion clinic?
Congressman, I'm not with the DOJ. I don't have that information.
Does anybody on the panel have any insight about why they would do that? See, I think that's the thing that's concerning. And then you hear
would
about...
Would the gentleman yield? I do have some insight.
Do you have an answer,
that.
A quick answer? Sure. Yield for an answer to that, real quick.
Sure. Mr. Houck was a well-known aggressive participant in demonstrations outside facilities in Philadelphia.
Ah, so they picked him. So they picked him because...
just pushed the guy once. 72-year-old man, he admitted he pushed him.
It's my time, and you gave me the answer. You gave me the answer a minute ago. Mr. Houck was an activist. He was opposed to the killing of children through abortion, and he said that, so they made him a target. Let me tell you what that is. That is called selective prosecution in violation of the Constitution. You cannot make prosecutorial decisions because you want to make an example out of somebody who's a well-known anti-abortion or pro-life activist. You can't do that.
He goes on, but he's right. You can't do that. And you're not stunned that she would say that, but it's the way she said it. Remember, you're not dealing with Democrats. You're not dealing with liberals, with people who lean left. You're dealing with committed communists. Committed communists it would never even register in her mind that it would be inappropriate to send the federal law enforcement arm against somebody who you have an abortion disagreement with. In her mind, that's simply what you do. Why wouldn't you do it? Well, yes, of course we sent the FBI after. You heard what she said. Well, yeah, he was a well-known activist, as if it was just simply what you do. I've told you before, this is why Democrats, you see them all over the place online. This is why these communists will routinely, if they get mad at you about something, they'll routinely say things like, someone should post this guy's address. Violence or the threat of it, it's just simply natural for them. It's how politics are done. Well, of course we'll send the FBI. Don't you understand? He was well known. He was well known. So we wanted to cut off his head and put it on a spike in the yard. Well, yeah, of course we would do that. What's the problem? That's how they think. It would never occur to the communists not to do that. That's enough of that. We need to, you know what we need to hear? Enough of these people in the House of Representatives. I want to hear from the United States senators.
Is it a staggering responsibility that the head of a bank could literally crash our economy?
I'm going to let the literally stuff go for now.
It's astonishing. That's like if you have, I mean, like, and they also realize is that that now they have, it's in a guaranteed way to be saved. By how, you know. So it's you know, isn't it appropriate that this kind of control should be more stricter to prevent this kind of thing from going, or should we just go on and start?
Just a quick pause. Did you see he tried to ask a question there, and it ended up with shouldn't this be more stricter? And the poor guy who was there to give testimony, he wasn't sure. Wait, is that a question? Like, should I answer the question? And then Senator Cucumber just kept going.
Failing and sailing whoever bank, regardless of how their conduct is.
He's still going.
You know, I'll give you an example. The Republicans want to give a work requirement for SNAP, you know, for a hungry family has to. To have this kind of penalties, or these some kinds of working requirements? Shouldn't you have a working requirement after we sail your bank with billions of your bank? Because they seem to be more preoccupied than SNAP.
I'm sorry. I have to take a minute. He's still got a minute left, and I'm sorry. I have to take a minute. I can't. That is. Hey, what are we gonna do? We have to laugh. All right. I know that's embarrassing. I know it's embarrassing that guy's a United States senator. You're embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. I know we have a bunch of people who listen in Pennsylvania. I'm going to be in Pennsylvania for the book tour. Remember, I'm coming to Harrisburg. So I know, like, I know this hurts, right? It hurts, but we have to embrace the pain. All right? We have to wrap our arms around that kind of pain. And we're playing the rest of Senator Cucumber when we get back. And then I will finally get to the IRS stuff and the Heavy D stuff, so on and so forth. Trump and Heavy D throwing mud at each other. Yes, I love it. More. Before we get to that, let's get to your puppy. Let's get to your dog. You hopefully try to give yourself some nutrition, do you not? Look, even on days where I eat bad, and there are plenty of those days, I'll try to mix in a banana. Well, why? Why bother? Because vitamins and minerals and omega oils and probiotics and nutrition matters. Nutrition will determine how healthy you are. Well, why are we only giving our dogs dog food then? Because there's nothing in it. It's all dead. It's brown because it's dead. Things that are alive are green. Rough greens is what your dog needs. Keep giving him his food. He needs the calories. Pour rough greens on it and watch your dog come alive. Watch your dog live a longer, happier, healthier life. Don't we all want that for those little furry parts of our family? Free Jumpstart trial bags. Go give him one bag and watch your dog. Watch what happens. His breath, his coat, his energy level, his digestive problems. Watch what happens. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Go get your free bag tonight. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Or you can call him 833-33-MY-DOG.
Jesse Kelly.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And don't worry, I'm going to get back to this John Fetterman stuff here in a second. We have Dianne Feinstein news. It's great. The IRS stuff, Trump and DeSantis. I do have a little update for you. The update is not great, but
there was an attack on a convoy in Nigeria. U.S. embassy staff were killed, according to what we know now so far. Keep in mind, we're live. This is progressing. But according to what we know now so far, U.S. embassy staff were killed, but they weren't U.S. citizens. They were Nigerians who were working in the embassy. So just that's where we are now. We will keep track. Me and the boys will keep track of this throughout the show, try to keep you updated for what we know, but just not. That's not good, obviously. So say a prayer for the families. It's certainly not good for our reputation worldwide, which is really not good anymore. It's really not good. I don't know why it wouldn't be good with these people in the Senate.
Requirements for works for hungry people, but not about protecting the taxpayers, you know, that will bail no matter whatever does about a bank to crash it.
Sure. I'm not pausing it. He's just pausing, collecting his thoughts, by the way. Oh, in case you wanted to know what else, because we got to get to the IRS stuff, Michael just handed me this little toozy. So Dianne Feinstein, you know, she's like 9,000. She's 89 going on 9,000 years old. She just got back to the Senate. She was gone for 10 weeks, all right? 10 weeks she was gone. She gets back to the Senate. They practically have to carry her out of the car. Apparently, they say she had shingles, which is very, very serious when you get older, especially. It's very, very painful. It's bad. But apparently, she had shingles. That's what they say. She's in a wheelchair. One eye is closed. I'm not making that up. If you see her, one eye is closed now. That eye's never been closed before. She looks like she's on the shady side of dead. I'm not 100% sure she's not a zombie at this point. But look, the important thing for you and the important thing for me is she's back there in the Senate making decisions that will affect the direction of the United States of America, which is interesting because the Daily Wire, credit to them, caught this little exchange. A reporter caught up to her by the elevators in D.C., and this is how it went. Feinstein says back to the reporter, "What have I heard about what? About your return," the reporter says. Dianne Feinstein responds to her and says, "I haven't been gone. I haven't been gone. I've been working." And the reporter, clearly confused, says, "You've been working from home? Is that what you're saying?" And Feinstein says, "No, I've been here. I've been voting." She just got back from 10 weeks gone. That's okay. These are the people that run the country. We're doing great. Speaking of the people who run the country, the IRS, what's happening at the IRS is really bad. Let me clarify where we were. I know you already know, but where we were was the IRS was involved in an investigation against Hunter Biden. Why? Because Hunter Biden doesn't pay taxes. Of course he doesn't. What a shock. What a shock. What a shock. An upstanding citizen like Hunter Biden would not pay taxes. Why he doesn't pay taxes? Eventually, the IRS has got to step in there and figure out how much tax money he owes. So the IRS has launched its own investigation. Now, from that investigation, the IRS, now remember, they work under the DOJ. This investigation is under the DOJ. The IRS had a whistleblower pop up. And not only did they have a whistleblower pop up, the whistleblower was on the investigative team for Hunter Biden. And the whistleblower, credit to him or her, I don't know, did it very, very smartly. There are rules for whistleblowers, for what you have to do in order to achieve whistleblower protections. This whistleblower, apparently, from what I understand from my legal friends, followed them all to the letter. So much so, no one knows who the whistleblower is yet. They can't figure out who it is. What they do know is the whistleblower was coming forward and saying, hey, the government's trying to bury this. This Hunter Biden case, the government's trying to bury it. You know what happened today? And this is going to be hard to hear because of what I'm going to say afterwards. But what happened was the IRS, under direction of the DOJ, they removed the entire team that was working on it. They couldn't figure out who the whistleblower was, so they just walked in and said, you're all off the case. Now, that's pretty in your face and out in the open, right? Biden's DOJ walks in and fires the IRS team that's investigating the son of the president. That's pretty in your face. So that's bad. But let me ask you something. Just you and me talking here. Let me ask you something. Do you think the system, our late stage republic here, do you think the system is upset about the Durham report? Do you think they're upset about it? Let me tell you something. The system is not upset about the Durham report, the report that came out and showed they're all in it together, the FBI's dirty. They're not upset about the Durham report. Why? They're not upset about the Durham report for the same reason you would write out in the open fire the entire IRS team that's investigating Joe Biden's son. The reasons are the same. They're not upset about the Durham report because always remember, these people see themselves as your kings and queens. They see themselves as your rulers, not your senators, not your FBI agents, not your presidents, not your anything. They see themselves as kings and queens, and kings and queens who have absolute authority over your life and have the ability to do things you don't get to do. They don't hide it. They brag about it. They do it out in the open and in your face because they want you to know. I'm telling you right now something you're not going to hear anywhere else, but it's 100% true. The system is thrilled about the Durham report. Why? Because now it's not rumors you read about on the internet. You heard these things on the Jesse Kelly show 2 years ago, which you would have if you were listening. Now, it's right there in writing. It's right there in black and white. Even your normie neighbor Norm can go read it himself. And what's he going to read? What's he going to find out? He's going to find out that these people can get away with crimes and rub it right in your stupid face, peasant. They want you. They want me to know. They want us to be angry because they have no fear whatsoever of the low-T GOP. They don't have any fear that a Republican AG or DA is going to put some Democrat in handcuffs. No fear at all. Because they don't have any fear of us, they want us to know. They want us to feel like we're peasants. Yeah, that's right. You are subject to laws we're not subject to. Yeah, that's right. We do have a secret state police. We'll wreck your whole life. We'll wreck your favorite presidential campaign. We'll wreck everything, and we won't be held accountable. In fact, the one guy, Kevin Kleinsmith, will pretend like we're going to hold him accountable. He'll be back practicing law. He's already off probation. We can do whatever we want to you. The king is not the king in private. The king is the king publicly. It's important. It's important to him that everyone knows he's in charge. He does as he pleases. And it's important that you know you can't. The system, the only reason you would fire that entire IRS team is for the reasons I just described. They want you to know who runs things around here. And they don't have an ounce of fear of you or me. Look, I've been calling them the low-T GOP for a long time. Again, I will ask, where are my arrests? Where are my arrests of Democrats? Are they under the belief that these bogus prosecutions like they're doing of Donald Trump will stop? Do they think they're going to stop? Do they think they're going to stop with Trump? Maybe it's because they hate Trump and they think once Trump is gone, they'll stop. They're never going to stop. This is the beginning. Maybe a male vitality stack for the entire GOP would be a real good idea right about now, because apparently we got a bunch of loser, flat-in-the-front lawyers in this country who don't have the guts, or maybe their problems a little bit lower, to go actually fight back against the communists like you need and I need. Get yourself on a male vitality stack, too, because I have no hope whatsoever the GOP will actually step up and do something. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days with natural herbal supplements. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off subscriptions. So while they're failing us, at least you'll feel good. Female Vitality Stack 2 for the ladies. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's talk a little bit of GOP primary before we get to some other things. There are other things out there, like Chinese donors giving to the Biden family, Netflix going down the toilet, emails, they still want you to eat bugs. Oh, there's many, many other things. Let's do a little Trump heavy D primary update. First of all, Chris, refresh my memory. Michael, I might need your help on this too.
Who was the guy on the radio, I think it was last week, who said it was very obvious what was happening with the Trump primary campaign, that they wanted the race to be about immigration and the economy, and they didn't want it to be about cultural issues, because if it's about cultural issues, that's, well, DeSantis has a bunch of pelts on the wall. Chris, who was that guy? No, it wasn't Clay and Buck, it was me! You dirty traitors! It was me! Look, this is what's setting up. And again, we're not doing the my personal preference thing. I will actually tell you what that is when I'm done doing this. So again, take off your MAGA hat, put down your DeSantis t-shirt. We're just analyzing the race. Just you and me. All right. We're going to take emotion out of it. We're going to analyze the race. Trump, his bread and butter issues are things like immigration. That's what won him the nomination in 2016. Immigration. The economy, he's known to be a great economic president, and he was until he gave the country to Fauci. Remember, this economy was booming. He had this economy booming, energy independent. We were rocking and rolling. So those are his issues. Remember, primaries are about lanes. You just picture a highway, but the lanes are different sizes, right? You want the biggest lane possible. You want multiple lanes if you can have them. Like today, in every era, it's different. Today, it's 2023. If you were running in the Republican primary, let's say you jumped in right now with Trump and Heavy D and everyone else, and you were known, let's say you had a reputation for some reason as low tax guy. You were low tax guy. Well, good. I mean, I'm glad you want taxes low. I want taxes low. That's good. That's a good thing. But in this day and age, that's a tiny lane. There just isn't enough juice there. There aren't enough people who are motivated and inspired by that. You won't go anywhere. Low tax guy is doing nothing. Doing nothing. There are different lanes of different sizes. The Trump campaign has made a calculation, and I don't know that it's a stupid one. I don't know. I don't know that it's smart. I don't know that it's stupid. I just know they made a calculation. It's very obvious to me. When it comes to cultural issues, the culture war stuff, they want to punt. They just want to punt on it. And I've seen this from his campaign staffers. They want to move everyone's focus away from it. So they'll say things like, No. I'm pro-life. But really, we want to talk about the border. Because the country, it's the border. And look, I'm not dogging on that. But it's very clearly a focused, it's a focused strategy. They want everybody off the cultural issues and focusing on issues that are good for Trump. That's his specialty. If it's about if this primary is about immigration, if that lane is big enough and the primary is about immigration, Trump's going to win the primary, period. He is. What they're concerned about, and understandably so, is the culture war stuff. And they're concerned about it because, man, that's Ron DeSantis's lane. He's out there. He's hammering Disney. He's out there getting all the LGBTQ demons out of the classroom in Florida. He's out there signing that 6-week abortion ban. He has culture war pelts on the wall. Now, There is a danger in this for the Trump campaign. I actually can't predict the future, so I don't know. And I'm just one man. I don't know. There is a danger in that. And the danger is this. Culture war, it's not a small thing. There are many people who believe it's the most important thing. And there are many people, when it comes to the issue of life, even if it's not their biggest issue, they won't vote the other way. It is the ultimate veto vote. I'll tell you, that's me personally. You know my issues. My issues are COVID, what you did about COVID, what you say about COVID lockdowns, and the FBI. But I do have a veto thing when it comes to life. I am so pro-life, you cannot be pro-abortion and get my vote ever. That's not how I work. The Trump campaign, they probably understand that you cannot anger the pro-life portion of the GOP base. It's too significant a lane. So you have to try to throw them a bone while at the same time, and this is going to take some gymnastics, it'll be very difficult to pull it off. At the same time, you have to try to throw them a bone, but let's not talk about that, or let's not be too pro-life. Remember when Trump put out that statement on social media, the pro-lifers went too far in the midterms, kind of a thing. So it's very clearly something he thinks. Well, he made a statement in an interview. Trump made a statement in an interview. And this is what he said about the abortion law DeSantis signed. If you look at what DeSantis did, a lot of people don't even know if he knew what he was doing, but he signed 6 weeks, and many people within the pro-life movement feel that was too harsh. And then he was asked if he would support restrictions on abortions after 6 weeks, and Trump replied, I'm looking at all options. Okay, so what are you hearing there? That's what you're hearing there is exactly what I just said. Does he sound like a politician? Yes, of course. But that's what he's trying to do. No, I mean, I didn't say I didn't like the 6 week abortion ban, but other people are definitely saying, I've heard it from other people. And as far as my stance, I don't know. There are a lot of ins, a lot of outs. I'm looking at every option. Okay. So again, he's trying to get around it and trying to punt on it. Heavy D responded.
Donald Trump recently stated that many within the pro-life communal movement feel that your 6 week abortion ban is too harsh. What are your thoughts on that?
Protecting an unborn child when there's the detectable heartbeat is something that almost probably 99% of pro-lifers support. It's something that other states like Iowa under Governor Kim Reynolds have enacted. And
that's DeSantis campaigning to win Iowa for, remember, the first primary state.
I think that as a Florida resident, you know, he didn't give an answer about would you have signed the heartbeat bill that Florida did. They had all the exceptions that people talk about. The legislature put it in. I signed the bill. I was proud to do it. He won't.
Okay. So this is a gamble by Team Trump. Will it work? I don't know. You know what? I'm not quite done on this yet. Let's discuss this some more. I will say this. The issue of life is something I am passionate about now and will always be passionate about. I am never going to stop. I understand people's complaints about it. Well, what if it costs us election? Jesse, women love it. Jesse, there are more important things. Now, I understand everything people say about it. I can only tell you what I believe inside, what my code is. Babies deserve to be protected and treasured and loved. That's what babies need. Babies are God-formed, and I love what preborn does. That's why I tell you about preborn every single night. I love that they're out there giving young ladies who are about to abort that baby, they're giving young ladies a free ultrasound and saving a life. She hears that heartbeat, boom, saves a life. Give them $28 and save your own life tonight. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.